Welcome to The Ether. Today is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have the One Planet Roundtable number 3 with Legends of Terra, Dancero, and NF Works. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, so we got Joseph that said that he was also going to stop by and hang out with us for a bit. So we'll wait a couple of minutes for him, see if he can join us. There he is. Hey, Joseph, can you hear us?
Hey, how's it going? Yes, can hear you guys.
Awesome. All right, so we're all here. So thank you guys, first of all, for spending your time with us and sharing some information in regard to what's going on with your projects. So I know that there's another Twitter space going on with Orbital Command and Subera as well. So they might be getting a lot of the listeners during this time, but I think, you know, again, we should crash them, right?
Yeah. Just try to combine it.
Yeah. So the goal here is just to have you guys, you know, just continue to bring, you know, people into your project, get them interested and curious about what's going on. I know Legends of Terra, for example, you guys have the mint going on right now. So that's something that we will talk about as well. But we can get started. You guys are good with that?
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Yeah, I got the whitelist countdown timer on because I didn't get Legends of Terra whitelist. So I'm watching that out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah, I'm trying to put my...
Nice. You were cutting off there a little bit for me. It might just be my problem.
Oh, no. I was just saying that I'm trying to put my hands on those arenas as well because I didn't get the whitelist spot, so...
Yeah, it looks like there will be some for the public mint, so definitely be ready for that. So let's get started. What we'll do initially is just go around and do a introduction of yourself, your project for Legends of Terra. Like I said, you guys have your mint going on, so you can kind of talk about that. And then after that, I have some questions prepared for you guys, and that way we'll dive deeper into your project. All right, and then Joseph here, he'll chime in if he's got some questions on his own as well. But let's actually start with you, Joseph. I know that you've been a little bit quieter than usual on Twitter because you've been building now with Delphi Digital. So I was just curious if you can talk a little bit more about the Avatar protocol.
Yeah, exactly like how you said. been kind of quiet this past few months because I've been working on a few different projects. But yeah, Avatar Protocol has been kind of the main focus. Pretty excited about that. We recently posted an article on it. It's essentially a platform where users can come and mint customizable avatars. And we also want to experiment with this idea of earned NFTs, which is a concept that in this NFT space currently, we're also used to, purchasing NFTs, right? NFTs representing, either the luck of a mint, right? Or it could just represent how much money you have. But with this idea of earned NFTs, we want it to represent, certain on-chain actions that we think would be interesting to represent, or certain achievements that might be interesting. So yeah, it's just a little bit about Avatar Protocol.
Yeah, that's super cool. I think it just kind of changes a little bit of the perspective we have on NFTs right now, the immutability component of it, because it seems like what you guys are making is something that can grow. You can grow with your NFT, right? Mm-hmm. Which is not what we've experienced so far.
Yep. Pretty excited to, I guess, bring a whole new perspective onto NFTs, right? I think, of course, you have a bunch of like 10K collections, which are cool. But I think it's always important to try to, push this boundary a bit. So try to innovate and see, what other interesting use cases could come upon from that. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. If you guys want to add something to that as well, feel free.
This is the first, I haven't read the article, first I'm hearing of it, but I do, right away see the potential for sort of crossover with what we're building with a sort of a learn to earn environment a token reward or allocation, but also maybe being able to work towards or, complete certain tasks, or as you say, on-chain activities, registered activities to receive sort of, it's a little bit like the Pope's. But receiving that for some sort of, proven activity that you've done or completed, and then you can bring that into all sorts of different spaces, from gaming to, where to learn to earn to whatever you might want to guide people towards interacting with, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess our initial target market is kind of playing to target the Terra protocols, actually. So we're partnering with a few various, different projects in the Terra ecosystem. So you can actually go and interact with them and then earn certain NFTs. So for example, if you go on like Mars protocol governance, right? If you, let's say, vote, or if you do something on there, and the protocol itself would want to, incentivize you, then they could airdrop an NFT. Or I think, that was kind of the one use case that was listed in the article that I think could be pretty interesting to explore.
And it can be set up, I assume, automatically, so that, the tasks through something like a DAO manager, like a Lunar Assistant or something, it can recognize if you've completed task X, Y, and Z, and then reward you the NFT automatically.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting about it is, because it is a customizable avatar, when let's say someone looks at your PFP, instead of, seeing the PFP as in, oh, they have that cool, PFP that, because they have a lot of money or they just got lucky. Now it's like, oh, that person participated in governance, right? It's a easy and visual way to really identify if this person has done a specific action or put in the work to do something. So I think it'll be quite interesting to bring this aspect of NFTs to the Terra ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the next step on the Lunar View roles, right? The Lunar View roles piece in the Terra ecosystem, when you go into certain discords and things, you can sort of set up levels depending on how many NFTs someone owns or how much they've interacted within the Discord. But now it's taking that to the NFT space, which, like you say, now it's not just about how much money you have, but how much you've interacted within that space or platform or protocol. And that could get quite intricate if you wanted to, in terms of being able to reach onto the blockchain and actually assess your activity within a whole, like the whole Terra ecosystem.
And
reward you in certain ways.
Yep.
That's cool.
Cool, yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Joseph.
So, just one question there.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh. Well, like videos where the people can get to know more about you specifically, like it's a very good idea. And I was more thinking of like curriculum vitae for the Paraspace work whole, the whole ecosystem would get to know your even professional skills there, or whether you participated in this or that. So
it's very hard to hear you right now.
Yeah, it was sounding a little bit rough. Sorry about that, Tim, but you can try it again if you want.
Like all over again? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I was just asking if they were thinking about this kind of NFT collections as in terms of like a curriculum for other people in the Terra network to know about you. Because I was thinking about this, like it'd be really cool to have like a video profile picture where you could like just identify yourself and share what you've been participating in, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea. That's actually something we're exploring in our wireframes right now. Essentially, there will kind of be a profile page on our platform where you can essentially you can share a link, right? And then you can put it on your Twitter bio or something. And once you click on this link, it displays like a profile page of your avatar and then of all the items that are customized onto your avatar. And then, I don't know, if you click on that item NFT, right, it kind of gives you more details on, oh, this was earned by doing governance on whatever protocol, or earned by providing LP on Astroport or whatever, right? So I think, you're exactly on the right page on what we're working on there.
Okay, thanks. It sounds really interesting.
Awesome. Thank you. So, Joseph, I know that you do have another commitment to go to. So whenever you need to leave, definitely go for it.
Yes, sure. Yeah, I can stay for a bit. So
awesome. Yeah. Cool. So Legends of Terra, I want to move on with you and your team. I know, again, your mint is going on right now in our launch pad. And we're at around 214 arenas that have been sold. So how are you guys feeling?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Before I start, like, I would like to thank you, like, One Planet team for like making this event successful already. So yeah, they've been very good at like every aspect, like communication and technical details. So yeah, we are very like, how can I say? We really appreciate them. And moving on to the actual like minting result, you know, like, so I'm looking at the screen right now too, and it says like item minted like 200 or something, and it's about like 230 left out of 500, so about half of the total supply were sold. Oh, and by the way, you can hear me back, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, so, so the sales started about like 2 hours ago. Yeah, we started at like 9 a.m. in Korean time. So we still got like 3 hours to go, and we are excited to see like how it would end up in the whitelist time. So for this time, like, I guess like we were pretty, how can I say, selective, or we provided like limited access to our whitelist because we really wanted to have some like royal community members to have a chance to buy. And I think that's why some of the participants on this call said like, oh, I didn't get the whitelist. So if you are a One Planet contest winner and you haven't got the whitelist, it shows like how much whitelist was like kind of limited. And so we are expecting it to be sold out pretty well in the public set as well. And in fact, our main question, or like main, how can I say, interesting point of view is about the auction. The legendary NFT, which is like literally one of a kind. So the starting point is 50, and we are actually thinking about it will go to more than 100, but we'll see. So overall, yeah, we are pretty excited and we're enjoying the moment, and we hope our community had a chance to buy one of those like precious pieces and enjoy this event as much as we do.
Yeah, I think what you guys are doing on your Discord has been great. I've been seeing a lot of engagement with the Discord economy and just the people being invested in the cards as well. So I'm excited to see, you know, just how the gameplay starts and combining the arenas and the cards and all of that. So good job on that.
Can I ask if I should be going for a card or bidding on an arena and how they interact with one another? And I apologize, I'll ask a second question. Does anybody manage to keep up with everything going on in the space while also working on your own project? Because for me, it seems like I could barely, you know, keep up with what's going on in our community and with all of the pieces on the back, you know, the building side and then the art side, and then trying to engage in build the grow the sort of the Twitter audience and things like that. And then suddenly I miss mints and whitelists all over the place because I am just not, I can't be everywhere at once.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Yeah. I mean, I think the experience would vary for everyone. But at least for like our case, like we as a team, like divide our roles like pretty, you know, much, so that let's say our UX UI designer will take care of all the design questions and technical guy will take care of all the like technical stuff. And for example, I just take care of this like business development or like the Twitter space. You know, like for example, I even forgot to enroll for the whitelist too. So I'm waiting for the public mint.
So with the difference, can you explain briefly the difference between the what you get in the random box versus what the one of one masterpiece sort of legendaries arena is?
Sure. Yeah, I think like I'm pretty sure like One Planet would have prepared some kind of discussion for later. So I will postpone that. But in short. So the random box ones will give you an NFT, but the legendary one will give you something similar looking, but financially that's much, much, much better. So yeah, details will come later. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the main goal there is you're an investor, right? And you're going to become a landowner. So we'll definitely dive a little bit deeper into why the legendary ones are going to give you more of that passive income that comes with them. But Dancero, I want you to explain a little bit about your project and give us an introduction of what you hope to achieve with the NFTs.
Yeah, for us, for sure. Thank you. And thanks for hosting and for bringing us together as we move towards these different mints, because it does help. You know, getting the word out for one thing, but also just understanding and seeing what other people are doing in the space. And for us, the goal has always been relatively simplified on off ramp to crypto, and that's what brought us to Terra originally, and sort of in the internet money, and also what, you know, leads us to try to build something where we're engaging users of our in real life, you know, our real life community. We have a live dance community in Latin America, but really about building a model that anyone could emulate that makes it easy to bring new users to crypto and new transactional volume, new value, new fiat money into the crypto space by engaging people in activities they're already participating in. So building a platform that and an NFT to go with it that people can sort of they can interact in a very gentle way, so to speak, with cryptocurrency and Web3 and, you know, the Terra ecosystem. And an NFT doesn't have to be this daunting experience that I'm sure the majority of us have gone through. We want to build something simple and user-friendly, partner with some on-off ramps. I know we've been chatting with a broad number of people now who are working on both those, you know, getting money in, and Cato Money just created their, you know, flat fee, $2 fee for an on-ramp, which is amazing for the ecosystem. And so we're chatting with those guys about getting people onto our platform, which for us will be a community-based dance platform, where a booking platform, essentially. We have a real-life dance community where we match students with instructors in an Uber-style sort of Web2-based platform right now, where a student arrives and says, hey, I want to find a dance instructor for this style of dance in this place at this time, and we make a match currently quite manually. So we're bringing all of that to the blockchain. And Web3, where basically a similar process will happen, but a student will arrive and be able to go through an automated self-serve system to connect themselves with an instructor from our community. And you can imagine then how that easily scales, both in terms of geographical location and in terms of service provision. So you can look at it as, in the longer term, as a, you know, any service provider being able to offer their service on a platform, and anyone that wants to book that service being able to do so, leveraging blockchain and cryptocurrency and contracts, and then adding in NFTs into the space for us. That'll be a basically a value add. So either discounts if you're an NFT holder, or you know, additional earnings if you're an NFT holder on the flip side as a service provider, and the ability to, you know, sort of work through courses in a learn to earn type way. So the same as we see in play to earn gaming, where you complete tasks and win battles and earn some sort of reward, you would complete, you know, learning educational tasks and challenges, or participate in different events and win rewards in that way. So those are kind of, that's the 3-minute, 30-second pitch. How'd I do?
You did pretty good. It's getting better and better. I think for me, what I really like about your project is the component of bringing in real life business into the blockchain and just putting the NFTs in the middle there, right? And I think as we continue to grow in the technology of NFTs, we're going to start to see a lot of that. Like Minerva DAO is doing a good job with Wine as well in combining those two. So yeah, really, really happy to continue to support your project. With Tim, let's hear a little bit more about your project. Your mint is going to be on the 28th, so it's getting really close. And just in case any of the listeners here do not know about your project, would you like to share some of that information, please?
Yeah, of course. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're good.
Okay, it's just like my internet is really slow right now. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard of us, we're the Invisible Man Project here in on One Planet. We're finalists as well. And what we do is quite simple, but it's hard to get sometimes because it's a story told by CGI. And we're trying to tell you the story about a guy whose name is Tim, who's just like a normal guy, yet he feels very invisible to other people. And we're gonna mint 5 scenes in the first episode where you will get to know more about Tim's story. But what I would like to add is that we're using NFT technology or blockchain technology so people can get to decide what happens with Tim's story, because we know that stories are told in different ways, and we don't need, or we haven't needed, that sort of decentralization that blockchain provides. But we think that we can potentialize decentralization and decision making by the community. So we wanted to just try this kind of DAO features that people will unlock as soon as they mint our NFTs. So our story, as we call it, is an NFT story driven by community. That's the most important part for us. We want to bring people to this story and make them decide some things about Tim's life and get the story richer, basically. So yeah, we'll mint very soon. We have an additional 5 white spots that we want to give up, posted in just a couple of minutes or so. So be ready, because it's getting hot in here. We like it, and thanks for inviting us as well.
Yes, definitely. And I forgot, Dancero, if you want to mention your 50 UST giveaway as well.
Yeah, no worries. I'm trying to decide how to pick someone at random from here. I was thinking I might call my son in here to just point at his favorite profile picture, and there your PFP is going to come into play. Maybe earn you some UST. I just thought that would be a fun way to engage people, and we're always trying to have a good time. And so that might be what I do. I'm going to mute my mic and bring him in here, and he's going to randomly pick a PFP that's his favorite. I'll let you know in a second.
Yeah, definitely. In the meantime, thank you, Tim, for sharing your story. And again, if you listeners want to get in a whitelist for that NFT project, he's going to put out some more information in a bit. But I want to go back to Legends of Terra, since your project is the one that's on the line right now. It's minting on our launch pad. I wanted to see if you can help me. I have a question in regard to the arenas, right? So as an owner, as a holder, if the my goal is to have more battles in the arena so that I can earn more rewards from the matches that are fought there, is there any way as an owner that I can either like advertise or help in some sort of way to get more battles happening in my arena? Is there any game mechanics that are for that?
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, as you mentioned, it is very natural for like certain NFT or like certain token holders to search for ways to make their, you know, ecosystem or their project better. Yeah, for example, like as a Luna holder and Lunatics, we all want like Terra ecosystem to grow and we promote Terra, for example. So let me see. So recently I had an AMA with Terabyte, and there was a similar question, something like this. And I think we use like baseball and knowledge there, and it was pretty good. So let me reuse that. So let's say you are a Yankees fan and you own a Yankees stadium in NYC, New York. Then you'd want to increase the number of visitors as much as possible to maximize your ticket revenue. You want more people to come and you want people to spend more on your stadium. Then, yeah, to do that, like you'd clean the stadium, for example, and put more amenities and get better workers, whatever. Basically, you want to make your stadium more attractive. So same goes for the arena for Legend of Terra. So after the game launch, we will work on DAO system using our governance token, which is like pretty standard structure for many projects. So I think like almost everyone is familiar with that. But we are going one step further, which is we are going to make sub-DAO within the DAO system. So sub-DAO for each arena. So using that arena sub-DAO, arena NFT holders may propose and vote to make their arena more attractive to players. Yeah, so I mean, obviously the details should be announced, and it will be very, how can I say, depend on the situation after the game launches. For example, like maybe someone would vote for like, oh, you know, like in our arena, the Heaven faction should do well and we should put some like promotion there because we believe that the Heaven players are basically going to contribute us more, well, whatever like that. But so basically like they can like do something on their sub-DAO to increase their passive income.
That's actually pretty cool. And I think that blends in a little bit with the sub-communities that we've been seeing from the NFT projects as well, right? Like with the Bulls and the IceDAO Bulls. And so I think that's kind of the picture that I have with your arenas, right? I don't know if that makes sense.
Hello? Yeah. So I'm not sure whether you guys are familiar with like those games, but like usually most successful games have some kind of like grouping system within that game community. Like for example, like guilds or like factions, whatever. Because like in many games, it's basically like competing against each other, and you want your fellows and your friends or your team to compete against other people and make fun. And so I think this is kind of like different, how can I say, competing session. So as a card player, you compete with other players. And as an arena holder, you are competing with like other arena holder groups. So this is basically like competition between investors.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah, I like that you're having that component to it as well, just to make it fun for the arena holders as well to engage with what they own. So let's move on with Dancero. Your event is going to be coming up in March, and you already gave us an introduction, but I wanted to see if we can dive a little bit deeper into the utility. And as a holder, I know you guys are adding a lot of value with the in real life dancing courses that you have and the revenue already that's being created. So can you dive a little bit deeper into the utility for a holder?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of three-pronged. And just while people are here, I did go and ask what their favorite PFP was. So my 8-year-old son chose Terra Dweller. And I just noticed that your your Twitter description is, I spent too much on JPEGs, so you're going to get 50 UST back for all that you spent on JPEGs, because that that Hellcat was their favorite choice. So throw me a link to your wallet afterwards through the Dancero Twitter, and we'll send that over. But to answer your question, the idea of an NFT, as you know, as Legends is talking about, and even Tim is as a, well, and Joseph before he left, just as a PFP, is, I think, very, it's the basic, it was the first use case, and it's something everyone can relatively easily identify with, but it's also something that everyone very quickly goes, well, why am I going to pay for a JPEG? I'll throw it back to Terra Dweller's point. And so the goal of NFTs, obviously, as we look to the future of what they can do, is the utility factor. It's the interaction with the blockchain and the smart contract, and how can we give someone proof of ownership of something digitally that will provide some value to them in an ongoing way in the future. So for us, having a real-life community, there's a three-pronged approach to our utility, which is based, some people will be able to take advantage of more than one, but it's based on how you want to interact with the platform. So if you want to interact with the platform as just an investor and holder and crypto enthusiast, having a Dancero NFT will provide basically access to the investments we make around the transactional volume that we hold on the blockchain at any given time. So our current user flow essentially is that a student arrives at our platform through any of the numerous ways we market our platform, and they book an instructor, and they pay for that instructor. They take the classes, and then the instructor is paid out. So there's a time where we're holding that transactional volume between the student and the instructor. Now, we like any Web2 based matching platform, we take a commission fee essentially from that, but we actually, for a period of time, have the entire transactional volume. And so leveraging blockchain technologies, different investment vehicles, will be investing some of that that transactional volume while it's on our platform and returning a yield from that. So there's a variety, in that sense, as an investor, you'll receive essentially payouts from the invested funds of the in real life community. That is one application. Another being that holding the NFT provides a student with different types of discounts and access to different initiatives that will be taking place on the platform, from regular weekly virtual and in-person classes to discounts on any packs or things at dance class they want to book, to chances to enter into lotteries for different events and trips and boot camps that we do. And so as a student, there'll be a sort of a desire to own the NFT, but sometimes you may only want to own it while you may only want the utility. You might not be an investor. You might want the utility of the discount, or you may want to go to the boot camp or access the event. So we'll have we're working on building out an opportunity for NFT holders from the investment standpoint to rent the NFT for certain aspects of the utility to dance students. And the third prong is the instructors. So any dance instructor from our platform who holds an NFT will be able to earn essentially a bonus on top of their typical rate that they would earn. So you can see we drive utility from the point of view of the student, from the point of view of the instructor, and from the point of view of the investor. Everybody has an opportunity to benefit from accessing the NFTs and has a reason to want to own and hold them. So hopefully, from our point of view, the idea is that we continue to create that value from these three different prongs, and there's a bit of competition between the different users to have and hold a variety of the NFTs. And they'll be tiered in levels from amateur through to master as we tier our instructors. At each level, the benefits will increase. So again, driving and incentivizing the desire to own a higher level NFT, not just due to a rarity trait that's ascribed by the community or by its sort of dubbed digital rarity, because there are quote unquote less of them, but actually because the benefits move increase as the tier increases.
I wonder if there will be someone that goes from like an investor to a student to an instructor and getting some kind of passive income from all of those three different angles.
Yeah, I absolutely hope so. And I mean, we have had students in the past who, you know, who learn with the goal of becoming an instructor. So move through a bunch of courses and, you know, sort of get to the point where they're able to teach what they've learned. We've obviously had instructors who learn different styles of dance and want to share and learn from other instructors in a different genre or area. And of course, we hope to also attract, you know, crypto users. We've been doing weekly dance classes with the Galactic Punks for the last 2 weeks. We have two more weeks. So there's a bonus or benefit to their NFT holders. So we've just been offering these classes, which has been a lot of fun with their group. It's a, you know, it's a relatively small group in that DAO, but it's a good time. So I think we'll definitely have some crypto people that go, hey, I wouldn't mind picking up a new skill, right? And that's the real thing, is that we're a specific niche, a specific skill in dance, but there's no reason that the model that we're building couldn't be emulated by any other service provider, and or that we can't scale into other verticals and other services utilizing a very similar platform, just skinned differently.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I keep going back to the example of Minerva DAO just because of the systems that you guys are creating around NFTs, right? And you guys are doing it with dancing, but like you're saying, you can move after this experience, you can move on and try it with something different. So really cool. So if anybody has questions, definitely come up. I have one here for Tim while we wait for people to ask if they want. So for Tim, my question is in regard to something that you mentioned about the NFTs that are, they're going to be released in chronological order. And I wanted to see if I can pull some alpha from you and give us an idea of what kind of scene or environment we can expect to see Tim in this NFT drop that you're going to be having on the 28th.
Sure. Yeah, well, like first, do you mean this episode, right? This episode will be composed, but let me start from the beginning because I'm getting confused myself. Like every episode of Team's Journey is like a trip of self-discovery. And we've mentioned this before. And of course we have like this main script for this character where he goes there and he does that. But since we're using like this DAO-like features to modify its curves, we want the people to take these decisions as part of their ability to make the story goes. So the first episode, like you mentioned, is composed of five scenes. But these scenes are just like an intro, like a so-called beginning of a character's life. And we want to make it sort of like a sequence that gathers the most information about Tim's main disposition towards life, like an invisible life, not noticed by others, by society, feeling like kind of lonely in a big city, in a few but soon after, you will see that Tim's not only living by himself and that there are other characters feeling the same way, so to speak. So our intention in this episode that we're minting is to portray what Tim is and what he does, and so people can relate to it and maybe construct the whole story with us. Is that like something answering your question?
yeah, definitely. Because I think that for me, that was the important component here, that this is going to be the first five scenes that are going to be minting is an introduction to Tim's life and his experience that he's going through. And then your holders, they're going to decide his next move, right? What does he do next? And so the next collection is going to be determined by the holders. And I think that's a really cool component that you guys are developing there.
Yeah. I think that's the main reason we wanted to use NFT technology, you know, because people that way can get really involved in the story. But yeah, this is sequential in the way that we're not thinking only in the short term. We want to make Tim a big story if we can. And we're releasing various episodes because Tim's story is quite big right now. Like it wouldn't be told in just one episode. Of course, I said this before, and my partner Val mentioned this too, that we take time in each scene because it takes a long time to render and just detail it to the point we want it, because we don't want to sacrifice quality, and so people can relate even more to the story. But also because we think the narrative of Tim is very large and very relatable to people here in this particular world, in crypto world. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna take more than just one episode, but here we're launching the first one planet, and we're glad that we're close to it on the 28th of February.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing all that. So again, if anybody has questions, please come up. Otherwise, I got another one for Legends of Terra here, and in regard to the arenas, and this goes back to the question that Lancero had about the specific auction, one-for-one legendary ones. So would you be able to explain to us what the difference is between the random box and the legendary ones that are going to be in the auction?
Yeah, sure thing. So since the, how can you say, loop or the visual effect is not that different, some people actually question those as well. So the main difference is, so for random box, you get three like rarity types: common, rare, and epic. And for the auction, yeah, there's only one legendary. So give me a second. So let me go back to the, how can you say, financial uses of this NFTs first. So these arena NFTs are supposed to get 10% of the play to earn income, which could be really big or which could be really small depending on the game. But if you look at the Axie Infinity, like their daily P2E income or the revenue is like about 2 million. So yeah, we try to reach there, of course. But so these like legendary NFTs have like crazy high revenue sharing rate among this like 10%. So this is because we decide to divide the 10% equally to all four rarity groups. I said equally, which means that each group will get 2.5% of total income. However, if you also consider that there is like only one legendary NFT holder will get the whole 2.5%. So let's say the daily like emission is like 10K, then you'll get, the legendary holder get like $250 every day. It's just a meet. But on the other hand, like let's say if you have one common NFT from random box, then you will get like 2.5% over 60, as there are like 60 common NFTs for each arena. In other words, like legendary NFT is like 60 times more powerful than the common NFT in terms of this like revenue sharing rate. So similarly, the legendary NFT generates 30 times more than rare and 9 times more than epic. So yeah, this is truly legendary in terms of the passive income rate. So in short, this like legendary NFT is not only precious, unique NFT, but also it provides enormous passive income potential, even compared to like other rarity group NFTs.
Yeah, that definitely explains it to me. And I read your Medium article that gives a little bit of an assumption on the daily rewards, and then dividing that into the different rarities of the arenas as well. I don't know if then said you have a follow-up in regards to that, since you were curious.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the launch pad, and I see in the one-of-a-kind masterpiece legendary arena, there are 5 items. So I'm just curious how the breakdown is from the 5 different items. Do you bid on just one? Is there going to be one winner, or are there 5 legendary arenas to be auctioned?
Oh, the latter. There should be like one winner for each item, so there will be 5 winners. I mean, there could be like, how can you say, if there's a whale coming in, like maybe that guy is going to win several of them, but in theory, there'll be 5 winners. Yeah.
So you're auctioning 5 legendary one of ones.
Yeah, because there are 5 arena types, and we have one and legendary NFT for each arena. So there is 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So just a reminder to the listeners, the launchpad is open right now for the random box for the arenas. and the auction will be open soon as well. So let's move on with Dancero. So I got another question for you. So in regard to the two communities that you're bringing together, the crypto community, Terra community, and then the dancers, and also the dancers that you're working with, for the most part, are based in Latin America, right? So I'm curious about what has been your experience so far bringing those two communities together.
Yeah, it's been an interesting, they're obviously interesting niches that don't always overlap. But I see Nina here from Terra Nuestra. You know, we have the Lunaticos. We have a fairly large group of, you know, Latin American or Spanish speaking followers of the Terra ecosystem with their own sort of subgroups. And there's a Lunaticos Telegram that's quite popular. So there's a big niche there. And from the user side, it's one of the issues we've identified. I don't know if issue is the right word, but one of the roadblocks to mass adoption of cryptocurrency is, as we all know, use cases, right? Cryptocurrency, we all spend a lot of time here in our Discords and Telegrams and on Twitter and on the different platforms and launch pads, and we understand the ecosystem, but it can be quite daunting to start out as a new user of any type of cryptocurrency. And so for us, the real goal is to make that transition as smooth as possible. It'll be a phased transition for users, for our students, from, you know, basically them paying us in the traditional methods they have been paying us through credit card, PayPal, bank transfer, whatever it may be, and us, you know, doing the conversion in the back end into and out of UST. And then moving it slowly towards, as we integrate the on off ramps and then launch our token later in the year, moving it towards a simplified on off ramp where it's, you know, purchase tokens essentially with your fiat money and then cash out just as hopefully easily and seamlessly. We're seeing definitely some banking integration in Latin America. I know Buda.com, which is a popular cryptocurrency exchange in Latin America, just inked some deals with a few of the national banks in the area, in the region. So the banks throughout a lot of Latin America are crypto positive or pro crypto, or at least exploring the interactions. And so we're hoping to have an off ramp that becomes as simple as the on ramp, where you can cash out. Obviously, for our instructors, it's important that they be able to take a portion of their earnings and cash them out to, you know, spend and live their lives. But we also want to then offer them opportunities for savings and for DeFi, you know, investing in a simple format through something like Anchor Protocol. Where imagine if, you know, the money you earned in your day job or in your side hustle or your part-time job, some of them are full-time instructors, some of them part-time, obviously. But imagine if you had the opportunity to take your money earned at your side hustle and the platform said, hey, if you want to leave a little bit of this money here, you can earn 10, 15, 20% interest while it's here just by leaving it here. I think it's a huge opportunity to introduce new users to DeFi and the opportunities that cryptocurrency provides, again, in a very user-friendly, just by interacting with them in an application and in a place where they're already doing work, business, pleasure, whatever it might be. So taking crypto out to the world rather than trying to bring the world into cryptocurrency, right? The use case has to be both relatively easy and of interest and value to the user, or why would they continue doing it, essentially. So to circle back around, I guess, and answer the question, the welcome from the Terra and the, especially the Spanish and Latin speaking Terra community, has been great. The interest level has been, I know we've certainly raised some eyebrows because it's not your typical NFT project. We don't have apes or punks or any of the above involved. So people are sometimes maybe not sure what to think of it, but I think as they dig in and take the time to see that we're really building a bridge to the real world, that's where people start to go, oh, this is a different application, and it's a longer term vision, and it's really about creating a user base that will bring fiat money onto the blockchain, which I think is hugely important for mass adoption. And that's it's a bit to explain, I guess, but it gets there when people start to understand the vision.
Yeah, I think you're definitely bringing some freshness into the ecosystem with the learn to earn component and just the different communities that are being brought together and helping understand crypto on one end, and then also just the crypto community just learning a little bit more about a way to get involved in some in real life businesses as well, and how you guys are handling all of that from like a service perspective. So I think that's pretty cool. I do want to open up the floor for any questions. We're getting close to an hour, so I don't want to keep you guys here for too long. I do have one more question for Tim, if you're good with that. I don't know if you want to share some information in regard to the whitelist that you mentioned earlier as well. But my question is, the governance component of the holders here. And so one of the things that you mentioned in the last few posts on your Twitter account was this new collection of PFPs as well for Invisible Man, Invisible Woman, right? Invisible People. So I wanted to see how governance is going to be a component in that, and then just in your roadmap, how the PFP collection is going to be involved in the introduction to Tim's life.
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, DAO is very useful for many things in our project, because community comes first, of course, and because this is not only about people deciding whether the story goes to there or to the other place, but like before, I think, and this is very important for us, before on other media, we didn't have this kind of option to choose for a story to develop. No matter how fond we were of it, we didn't get to know more of the story. And so to summarize, we're planning to use NFT technology to achieve two things. And I will mention what you said about the PFPs that we want to release. We're very excited about that part of our project, which is coming soon. It will come after the first mint. I want to clarify this. It's not going to be involved in this first part of the project, but it will very useful in the future. So first of all, I think holders will decide, but they will also own and use their ownership to earn some revenue from Tim's story. And I want to explain more about this, because I think the potential for our PFP collection is the utility we want to put into it, which is a concept that we developed, and it's called appear to earn. And it's like a different mechanics, because let's say that we need to render a part of the story where Tim goes to a bar. And in this bar, there is a bartender who serves the drinks, and he coincidentally looks like one of your PFPs. Like, he's wearing the kind of things that we're thinking about. So if we cast you from the selected group of people who has this particular feature we're looking for, we will compensate your participation for that scene. It's like acting, like if your PFP could act in Tim's future scenes. And maybe we can even look further to provide you with some royalty or something. We haven't decided about this yet, because we need to study the possibilities so the financial part for investors is more attractive. But what we can say right now is that we will mint this particular episode on the 28th. And from there, people who minted one of the scenes will get immediate access to the whitelist for minting a PFP. We showed some examples on our Twitter and on our Discord. I invite you to look for them and see and provide us with feedback as well, to see how do you think they work. And also, we want to make this PFPs not only attractive but a key to other stuff we want to develop. But one, like if you mint one NFT right now, you will get immediate access to the whitelist. But if you mint from three or more NFTs, you will get a free PFP, and this will be your access, like your appear to earn access for receiving maybe some kind of retribution in the future. So I don't know if this clarifies more about the whole process, but I hope so. And about the whitelist, I just posted something on Twitter. We want you to know who would be your best invisible friend. We will choose the best answers and we will give away the 5 whitelist spots to you guys. So you can come with us on 28th and see what happens. We're really excited. We've been working a lot. And thank you again for inviting us, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much as well for spending your time here and sharing more information about your project. I think what you're creating, the system that you're creating around your mint as well, and holders being able to take advantage of the further roadmap that you have going on with the PFP collection as well, it's going to be pretty interesting. I don't want to hold you guys too long. That's just Sotera. I know you're doing your mint right now, but if you have some final thoughts, let's go with that. Let's start with Legends of Terra.
Oh yeah, sure thing. Thank you. Yeah. So our whitelist sale is ongoing and it's like 2 hours remaining. And after 2 hours, there will be public mint. And we expect that there will be something available for public, but maybe it won't last long. So don't forget to take your chance and see you on One Planet.
Awesome. Thank you. Yep. Dancero, any last words from you?
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly plug the Lost Loot Wallet. So for any listeners who have maybe heard of it or maybe just been following along, there is a competition contest going on all across Terra, over 30 projects involved. We have loaded up a Terra wallet with a whole bunch of loot, 1700 UST, over 25 NFTs, including Hellcats, Dystope AI, Unstables, Terabots, all sorts of things in there. One person is going to win it. And what you have to do is go to visit all the projects. One of the best ways is to just search the hashtag Lost Loot on Twitter. Go visit the different projects that are involved. They've all shared a clue either on Twitter or in their Discord. Piece the clues together to get the seed words. We're a little over halfway through. I think there's about 15 or 16 words out there. So you can team up with a partner. You can work as a community. Try to put these words together, or you can just go it alone. The words will keep coming over the next about 10 days until all 24 words are out. Then intermittently also releasing some hints at the order of the words. And so you'll have to sort of puzzle together. And the first person to get all the words and the password will be a part of all of that. We'll be able to empty the wallet. Basically find all the loot for themselves and send it away to their own wallet. So it's a pretty substantial prize right now, as the Terra NFT floors have been growing like crazy on some of these projects since they put in their NFT to the Lost Loot. So it's a pretty awesome prize now, actually, if you add up the value. So I hope you guys are participating. If you have any questions, I almost certainly won't answer them. You got to figure it out yourself.
but I will say that the projects that have been involved are not going to just leave you hanging. They'll guide you, so you're not alone in the Lost Loot search. They'll tell you where to go and look. That way you're not completely lost. But yeah, there's a lot going on in there. There's a lot of puzzles you got to solve. But anyways, I think during the bear market that we're going through, it's something fun, something to distract you with if you're not already distracted with all the different NFT projects and DeFi protocols, that are coming up. But yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Tim, do you have any last words for us?
Yeah. Well, I forgot to mention that we want another incentive for people to be with us. Like I said it before, we have 5 scenes per episode. But there is an incentive to collect them all, because we want, at the end of the whole project, we want to render a whole short film about the first season of Tim's life. And this short film will be only acquired, or it'll be only mintable for the people who collected the whole thing. So this way, we guarantee that these are very unique pieces, and that the people who own the whole story, that supported us when we were just starting with this, get more utility from our project. I just wanted to put that out there because I didn't mention it before. And yeah, that's it. I think we're close to the mint. Thank you guys for being around. We have some more announcements in the following days. We have some free airdrops coming soon. So just stay tuned, and hopefully we'll see you later.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for guiding us on just the whole component of, supporting your project since the beginning, and how that is going to benefit people in the future. So officially the roundtable is done. So you guys are free to go, but I know we have Milstein and Nana here. If you guys would want to come up and say anything, feel free to. Dancero, this is the after hours, all right? So Dancero, I do have an answer or a question, I guess, if you want to continue talking for a few minutes in regard to just being so busy, right, that we don't have enough time to keep up with everything. I noticed that Terranaut had a Twitter space earlier today. I don't know if you heard that, but
no, I didn't.
He was talking about just the idea of being overwhelmed and how that can affect you in your real life, right? And he was talking about how he struggled with the relationship with his partner, and just mentally he was going through a lot. And so I thought it was a really great talk that he had, and it's recorded, so you guys can go and listen to it. It's Terranaut on Twitter, but he's an OG in the Terra community, so I thought him taking that step was very courageous. And and you mentioned earlier today here that you're so busy building that it's hard to keep up with the whitelist and the mints and then DeFi protocols and all that. So I just wanted to bring that up and just open the space to see if anybody wanted to share a little bit about that. Nena's here as well, if you want to say anything.
Hi. See, like, I always try to not take so much time of these spaces, but here I am again. Sorry.
You're always welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
So, well, I think I've talked a lot with the guys from the Legends of Terra. I'm really happy for you guys. I'm waiting the 2 hours to the public minting. Let's see how it goes. I'm really thrilled to see how the story of Theme gets going. It's, for me, it's real interesting. I can identify myself in many of these things. Milstein knows that I've been spending the last 3 days without like any sleep. So I understand what it is to be just working and working the whole time, not knowing really why. But well, here I am. And to the Sarah's NFT guys, this is something that not many people know, but I was actually a salsa dancer in my university. And I love dancing. I've been dancing since I am 3 years old. I enjoy it a lot. And this is really important for the Colombian, I would say, yeah, for all the Colombians in general. We grow up pretty much dancing all the time. My neighbors hate me because I have music all the time. But when I saw this project, for me, it was really interesting to see how you actually can take new ways to give like these opportunities or roadmaps to the NFTs projects. So at first, and I actually had to reach to the Danceros guys, and ask, like, I I don't really get it. I might be too slow, but I don't get it. I know that it's something about dancing. I know it's interesting, or at least it is for me. But it is really refreshing to see this kind of projects. For me, it was really nice to see how you guys actually had some people from the Galactic DAO dancing. And I could only think about it. And I saw the comments and the guys were like, my hips don't lie. I am not Latino. Like, this is terrible. I am an awful dancer. Like, you can see all those things. And I think that's what people need too. Because as you were saying, Edwin, the mental health is an issue that it's so critical for all of us. And we're not really paying attention to it. And we're not talking about it. So things like dancing, things like just getting together and talk about all these things, and sharing our experiences and saying like, hey, you know what, like, I'm roasted. And somehow these NFTs projects can give me also a little of relief from my day to day. And being able to talk in places like this, it's really important. And that's what a community is for at the end. It's not only about making money. It's not only about creating great projects. It's also about being here for each other, to listen to each other, and to create together, because we grow better together. That's it. See, don't let me speak more.
I love all of that. That's amazing. Thanks so much for sharing. And we're so glad you took the time. And I'm amazed that you saw the chat from the Galactic Punks, which was so much fun to do that with them.
It was really interesting. Yeah, I love the comments. I was like, I really want to do this. Like, I really want to see it also, because one of my side jobs when I was at university was actually to teach Americans and people from Germany and from all around the world how to teach them how to dance salsa.
We're gonna do a special class with you as the instructor.
It was really interesting. Yeah, it's I want to see Edwin doing that and Milstein.
I've taken a class actually at college, because I was like, man, I'm from Guatemala and I don't know how to move my hips. That's not cool, you know. I'm not representing.
Yeah, no, you have to fix that.
yep, and you know, I'm glad, you know, like you're saying, like, we have these refreshing projects like Dancero, right? Like, he mentioned earlier that it's not a ape, it's not a, you know, a bull, it's not these things that we're used to seeing in financial markets, right? Or you know, just pumping things. It's dancing. It's something that we can all relate to, something easy to talk about. You don't think about money when you think about a dancer, but as opposed to an ape, you're like, oh yeah, let's ape into something, right? The culture around that is a lot different. And same thing, you know, with Tim, for example. I think for me, just seeing the visuals of the Invisible Man is something that to me is eye catching, and it's you know, like an evolution of what we're going through in Terra, at least. I'm sure in maybe other ecosystems like ETH, there's different projects that have already explored this. But I enjoy talking to the teams and learning more from you guys. And you know, that said, just to go back to your initial question, for me, I am able to keep up with a lot of the projects because that's my job now, right? So I get to talk to all of you guys and support your projects. So it makes it easier for me, right? Because I write about you guys. I'm paying attention to what you guys are tweeting about. But it's fun for me to be engaged with all of your communities and learning about, you know, how you're growing and how your projects are evolving. So I'm in a little bit of a different place as opposed to you guys, that you guys are spending 100% of your time building, you know, and Nena with Terra Nuestra as well. Like, you're building, right? So you got to be focused on you know, what it takes to make that a successful project as well. So I'm in a little bit different place than you guys, but the only thing I would say is that because I am working, I don't have the same opportunities to explore as much random things anymore. Now, you know, it's a lot more focused on NFT projects and with Orbital Command as well, just doing more DeFi projects, which is fun as well. But yeah, I don't know if Tim or Legislatura, if you guys want to add anything to this topic.
I actually have to jump off now. Speaking of mental health, I'm going to go have dinner with my family. So I will say goodbye, but thank you so much for the space. And thank you everyone for coming to listen. And I'm in touch with Terra Dweller about his prize. So congratulations again to Terra Dweller.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Enjoy your night.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Nana because she's been really supportive of our project and she really gets the psychological background of our character. And I think, this is a very important drive behind us making the Invisible Man. We both, the main team, the core team, were immigrants at a point in our lives. Val lived in Canada, I lived in England. And we felt this place in a way, being Latinos and being like in a position where you don't even speak the language sometimes. So this is behind the story. And I'm really surprised that Nana had that intuition behind the drive of the Invisible Man. But it's not only about being an immigrant or being a person that is displacing a different foreign site or whatever, but it's more about how we deal with loneliness and how we deal with work and how we deal with social stuff that we sometimes don't know how to deal with. And we hope that Tim's window to just explore this inner kind of drives that we have and this inner kind of situations in which we can identify ourselves and more people. So thank you for that. And thanks for opening the mics for us. And we'll be in touch.
Yeah, thank you as well. Legend Sotera, are you good?
Yep, I'm good. Yeah. Thank you for today. Okay.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, you guys are all welcome. And thank you, listeners, for spending your time with us. My brother, Dr. Dosquin, is a listener. Thank you for stopping by. I know you were doing the Severa AMA earlier today, so appreciate your work as well, man. But everybody stay safe, everybody stay healthy. Make sure you guys are drinking water and not stress too much. Tara's gonna be here for a long time. All right, everybody, so we'll see you guys again on Tuesday next week. We're gonna have a couple of different projects come up, but in the meantime, the arenas for Legends of Terra are minting. The public round is going to open up in an hour and 45 minutes. So if you're interested in that, definitely.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was One Planet Roundtable number 3, hosted by Active Variable of One Planet with Legends of Terra, Dancero, and NF Works. Recorded on Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck a pumping double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin, then put that shit back in the damn basket. Like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers, snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes, and take the rest and turn them into free bait. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base, looking all professional, tools in the briefcase, running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Sacrifices the lotion in the basket.
And impossible, defending the plausible from end to demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance, running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day, feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and talk everlasting, feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy, trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall, all hands on deck, waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject, so feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences go, how they draw conclusions and find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong. How an individual can be led astray by certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.
Channel Spaces.